Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
He's a God who has got a purpose for you that's bigger and better than what you could even ask for or what you could daydream about. You're asking for big stuff. He's doing bigger things. He's going to do things in you, through you, and for you. You ain't even dreamed about it yet.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
You can do nothing. I'm the vine. That requires, on your behalf and mine, complete dependence. And that's not a word that guys are really great about hanging on to. How many of you really like to think about yourself being dependent on somebody else? We don't care for that, do we, fellas? No, we're raised in a world that tries to drill this into our brain. You need to be independent. You need to not have to count on anybody. You don't need to have to lean on anybody. You need to be able to handle it on your own. You need to be able to say, I got this. I can handle this. I can do this. I'm the one. You know what? I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Right? I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without him holding my hand. When we start living independently of God instead of dependent on God, worry is an automatic outcome. When you worry, you do not trust God. Listen to this statement. And I know it sounds a little bit negative right now, but I'm about to flip the switch, okay? We're going to get over to the good stuff, but I want you to hear me out when I say this. We will never, everybody say never. Never. We will never fully outgrow our tendency to struggle with trusting God. Now, I recognize that that's not what you want to hear, but if you listen to me, it may help relieve a little burden off of you. Let me teach you for just a minute. We will never fully outgrow our tendency to struggle with trusting God. Why, David, would you say something like that? Because you are always going to be operating in this flesh. And inside your flesh and inside my flesh is a sin nature who's at its very core rebels against God. And so when the hard punches of life come, okay, you know, when there's something right around the corner in life and I don't even know it's there, it's not something I'm expecting. It's not something I got a plan for. If this ever happens, here's what I'll do. It's not that moment. And I come around the corner, and life hits me in the gut, and it knocks my breath out, and I wasn't expecting it. You know what's going to happen? Your automatic reflex in life, your fleshly, natural response is going to be to not trust God, but to try to start fixing an issue. Okay, but here's the good news. We can get better and better and better at decreasing the amount of time it takes me to say, fooey with me doing it my way. I'm sick of worry and doubt. I'm getting away from the way I used to do it. God, I'm turning over to you. See, well, here's my thing. I'm ready to get to that a lot faster than I used to. All right, see, my problem is I'm sick of staying over in worry and doubt so long that it starts to affect me physically. I'm telling you, I've put myself in the doctor's office with worry before. Me, the preacher, I have. But I don't live that way anymore. Does that mean that I don't struggle with worry from time to time? No, but it means I'm sick of sitting there. And when I recognize that that's where I'm at, I choose to trust God instead. And I'm hoping that you and I can learn to get there a lot faster than we used to. Amen. That's what this sanctification process is all about. The longer you walk with him, the more you'll become like him, the more history you'll have with him, and the quicker you will get to where he is instead of operating the way you used to. All right. The next question I want to address, really, this is the last question, so here we go. I want to show you this. Why should we trust God? Okay? Why should we trust God? I want to give you three reasons why you can trust him. And if I went around the room with the microphone, I'm not going to do it. Put it in your face and said, all right, I want you to tell us that thing that you're struggling to trust him with. What is it? What's the thing you're burdened with tonight? What's the thing you're hurting over tonight? What's got you confused and perplexed? And what is it? What's that thing? We'd go around the room and hear all kinds of stories tonight. You don't have to do that. I'm telling you tonight, he's trustworthy. He is worth placing your trust in. With whatever your problem is, I'm going to give you three reasons why. Number one, his plan is perfect. Everybody say, his plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. Here's what that means to me, guys. God knows what he's doing. When I don't know what he's doing, he knows what he's doing. Because his plan is perfect. God always has a plan. Always. He's always got a plan. How many of you grew up watching one of God's greatest TV shows ever? He had a hand in this one. The A-Team. Anybody? Anybody watch the A-Team? Hey, B-A. I just wanted to be a swole up black guy for a lot of my childhood. Because of that dude right there. But there was a guy on that show named Hannibal Smith. Remember that? And about three-quarters of the way through every one of those A-Team episodes, Hannibal always said the same line. Remember what he used to say? I love it when a plan comes together. Right? I love it when a plan comes together. Let me tell you something about God. God has never stopped to wonder what the plan should be. God ain't ever had to put a plan together. God has always had the plan. He's always known what the plan is, and he's always known his plan was going to work. He's never had to doubt what he put into effect. He is bigger and better even than Hannibal Smith. He loves it when his plan comes together, and it's going to come together. It's a perfect plan. But the thing that gets me, man, just drives me crazy with God. Anybody got some things about God? You just kind of say, come on, God. Here's what I know. He's always got a plan, and he don't ever let me in on what it is. He won't tell me what the plan is. I think it would be easier if he'd say, David, come over here. Come here. Come here. I don't want everybody hearing this. Just me and you. Come here. All right, David, we're going to do A and B and C. I'm going to skip D, go right to E, and then F is going to happen. That's the plan. You got it, David? I got it. I'd be cool then. Would you be all right if you knew the plan? Here's why he don't share the plan. Because as soon as he would let me get on the plan, I would stop trusting God and start trusting what? The plan. Well, here's what the plan says. I already did that. Now, okay, now I'm supposed to do this. Relationship with God, out the window. Now I got a relationship with a plan. Right? He's got to have, but I want you to know this. He does have a plan. And most of the time, it's the last thing you would have planned. Here's how it looked in Paul's life. In 2 Corinthians, don't turn there, just listen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, about the trouble that came to us when we were in Asia. Trial, trouble, tribulation that came to us in Asia. Now listen to Paul describe it. It was a trouble that was brought burden beyond what we could measure, above strength, so that we even despaired of life. That's big problems. Paul said there was trouble that came to us, and there's no doubt about it. You read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul knew who sent the trouble. It wasn't Satan. Guess who sent the trouble to Asia and Paul? God did it. Heavenly Father sent it. What kind of trouble? Big Trouble. What about this 80s show, Big Trouble in Little China? Remember that one? This is Paul's version of that, Big Trouble in Asia Minor, all right? He describes the trouble like this. Trouble so big, I couldn't measure it. Trouble so big, it was beyond my strength to do a thing about it. Trouble so big, I'd already got my suit cleaned and called the undertaker to build a box because, honey, I was going down. But then Paul's very quick about telling us why. Why God sent the trouble so big, so burdensome. Why, Paul? That we would not trust in ourselves, but in the God that could raise the dead. Paul said he had to send trouble to me so that I'd learn that I ain't big enough, smart enough, good looking enough, I ain't rich enough, and neither are you. We don't have what it takes to fix the problem, to know what to do, but I serve a God that's got a plan that's never been confused. He's never worried. He's never doubted. He puts a plan in place, and he knows why he wants to do it. It's a perfect plan. He knows what he's doing with your life tonight. Even when you don't know what the plan is and you think for sure God's done fallen off the throne, hit his head and got amnesia, forgot about you. My friend, listen. He loves it when the plan comes together. There's a guy that's a songwriter and a singer probably nobody in this room's ever heard of. His name is David Wilcox. And he wrote a song called Show the Way. All right? And Show the Way, it's kind of a God song in disguise. You remember the verse in 1 John that says God is love? Remember that? God is love. So every time in this song the word love is used, he's talking about God. There's no doubt. And he uses God like he draws the picture of someone who writes a stage play. All right, so you go to the theater, watch a stage play, and here's what the words of this song say. Listen to this. See if this hasn't been you at some point. Listen. You say you see no hope. You say you see no reason we should dream that the world would ever change. You're saying love is foolish to believe. Because there'll always be some crazy with an army or a knife to wake you from your daydream and put the fear back in your life. And he says this, look, if someone wrote a play just to glorify what's stronger than hate, would he not arrange the stage to look as if the hero came too late? He's almost in defeat. It's looking like the evil side will win. But on the edge of every seat from the moment that the whole thing begins. Now listen to the chorus. It is love that mixed the mortar. And it's love that stacked these stones. And it's love that made the stage here. Though it looks like we're alone. And in this scene, set in shadows, like the night is here to stay, there is evil cast around us. But it's love that wrote the play. And in this darkness, love can show the way. Amen? God has a plan. Second reason that we can trust him is this. He has a purpose. Not only does he have a plan, his plan is that he knows what he's doing, but the number two, his purpose is perfect. His purpose is perfect. He knows why he's doing it. He knows what he's doing. He knows why he's doing it. God knows. Listen to me. I know you've been through hell. Some of you say, been there. What'd you say, been? I know some of you going through it. God knows why the hardship is necessary. Listen to me now. These guys that walked in here with me in the back, I could go down this line and point to these fellas and tell you what kind of hell they're going through in parts of their lives. No different. And God knows why the hardship is necessary for your life. He knows why. He has purposed it for a valuable, eternal reason. And he has built glory into the struggle that you're dealing with. And listen to this. He knows why. It's necessary. And rarely is the purpose for what you're going through what you think it is. Let me say that differently. When he reveals to you what this is really about, it's going to blow your mind. Because you haven't even started dreaming and praying for what he's really up to. The Bible says this in Ephesians, I think it's 3:20. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or even think. What are you saying? Daydream about it. Pray the biggest prayers you can pray. He's a God who has got a purpose for you that's bigger and better than what you could even ask for or what you could daydream about. You're asking for big stuff. He's doing bigger things. He's going to do things in you, through you, and for you. You ain't even dreamed about it yet. Not because I ain't trying to pump you up. I just told you what the Bible said about it. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or even think to ask. He's got a purpose bigger than what you're thinking it is. Probably 3 years ago, my wife and I went on a little vacation just for a few days, just she and I. And really, I needed to because I had some stuff going on, guys. And I was broken and I was hurting and it had been going on for a while and answers didn't seem to come. And hey, I'll just be real about it. Some of that, 3 years later, still ain't got answers to it. But at that time in my life, I was messed up. Leading a ministry, leading a family, crying myself to sleep most nights. Hurting. So here's what I thought. Well, we'll go on vacation for 3 or 4 days. I'll get away from all that mess. Anybody ever thought, I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to change location and fix my issue? How many of you know demons can get in your vehicle and drive with you? So there I go on vacation. 2 days into being away from it, I still just getting beat up with it. I wasn't talking about it out loud. I was pretending like I was fine. How you doing? Blessed? You ever said it that way, knowing that you, last thing you were feeling was blessed? We ought to just start getting real. How you doing today? I'm messed up, man. I'm broken, busted, disgusted, hurting. And that's where I was, but I was pretending like I was having a good time. One afternoon, my wife laid down in the afternoon to take a nap. I just left where we were and just walked. Walking paths, some benches, some trees, and there wasn't nobody. It was just me and the Lord. I was looking for relief, right? I knew the problem wasn't going away. I was just looking for relief. God started speaking to me about purpose. And I picked up my phone, and I started writing, trying to type down what he was saying to me because I wanted to be able to read it again one day. Can I read to you what I wrote that day? I want you to hear this. And this is just between me and the Lord, but I want to share it with you. This afternoon while walking around, God set me to remembering. I'm remembering times in my past when I was brought low by trying circumstances. Some of those circumstances would seem light to people that have gone through much more. However, some of them were pretty darn difficult and lasted for years at a time. Anyhow, perspective is everything. God has taken the time this afternoon to remind me of at least 8 different struggles in my past. Times that I felt helpless and hopeless apart from him intervening, and he did intervene every time. Now, all of those issues are past miseries. Past miseries. P-A-S-T. Past. And they're also at the same time past miseries, P-A-S-S-E-D, past. And here's why I wrote that down. I say that because they're all in my past, and I passed through every single one of them. I thank God that I am a much better man because of them, because of the hard times. In fact, because of them, I'm a completely different man. So I look at my present struggles with a better perspective this afternoon. While I am hurting, God is doing something. While I am praying for relief, He is creating something remarkable. Now, here's the part I want you to hear. Interestingly, I see a common scarlet thread that has been woven through these past pains that have now become victories. The commonality is this. In all of those cases, I earnestly sought for God and prayed for relief, and God answered my prayers. However, He did it. However, in addition to responding, I've come to realize that all of His answers came in a form and in a fashion that I neither asked for nor even imagined. In every circumstance, He did much more than I had the faith to request. He is the Creator. And He created realities out of my anguish that I never dreamed of. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness and Your love. You know what I needed. You alone know how to apply Your creative love to my present pain. I thank You for Your divine purpose, and I thank You for the hidden manna along the way. God has a purpose for your life. He knows what He's doing. He knows why He's doing it. Finally, lastly, is this. First of all, His plan is perfect. Second of all, His purpose is perfect. Lastly, His performance is perfect. His performance is perfect. He knows how to do it, and He knows when to do it. God knows just how and just when to apply His power to your need. And like I said before, when it comes to trusting God with whatever you're hurting with, you see, here's David. I don't much struggle again with can he do it, but man, when will you do it is a different question altogether. Timing is a problem for me, because you know when I want it? Yesterday. My prayer is not usually, thy will be done. My prayer is usually, Lord, now help me, deliver me, save me. When? Now. It's a timing problem, my friend, and it's my problem, right? Anybody, I guess that's just me. Nobody else prays those kind of prayers but David. Lord, now please. But I'm telling you tonight, God's perfect in His performance. He knows when to do it. Let me give you this point, man. This just lit me up when God put this in my heart. God knows how much struggle we need to bring us to the point of His purpose. God knows just how much struggle and pain you need to bring you to the point of His purpose. Let me say that a different way. He's going to rescue you right on time. He's going to rescue you. Right on time. Right on time. I want to give you the words for whoever needs the encouragement tonight. The prophetic words from the group Audio Adrenaline. Anybody ever heard of Audio Adrenaline? 1990s Christian rock band. All right, here's the words of this song. All right, Mylon, you had a flashback right there, didn't you? I know you did. Listen to the words of their song. Flooded by an ocean of some mixed emotions, they got you down again. Pride and passion or physical attraction or whatever thing you're in. These temptations are causing you frustration. What you need is a friend. Someone who loves you. One who is above you to take away all your sin. Well, help is on the way. Oh, yes. Help is on the way. A mighty good leader is on the way. He's the only one gonna come to save the day. It's all right. Yeah, it's okay. Because a mighty good leader is on the way. He's gonna rescue you. Good. Hey, maybe that don't do nothing for you. Maybe what you need to hear are the words of Sam and Dave. Straight out of Motown. 1960s, when they said, well, don't you ever feel sad. Just lean on me when times are bad. And when the day comes and you're feeling down in a river of trouble about to drown, well, hold on. I'm coming. Hold on. I'm coming. I'm here to preach this to your heart tonight. Hold on. God's coming. Hold on. God's coming. Just in time. Right on time. He knows what you need. He knows when he's never been early. He's never been late. He's coming to where you are to rescue you out of your trouble. Right on time. Hold on. God's coming. Hold on. God's coming. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. David, how do I do it? How do I trust him? I wish I could stand up here tonight and give you some long, drawn-out equation or process or recipe where if you go through these steps, you read this much, you pray this much, and trust is an automatic. It don't happen that way. You know how you do it? I'm going to tell you. You choose to trust God. You have to make a choice to set aside the doubt and to set aside the worry and the fear and say, not today, Satan. No, no, no. I will not live in that today. Today, I choose to trust God. And tomorrow morning when you wake up, before anybody else is stirring and making a sound, and you feel that in your chest, that bit of worry, hey, I'm preaching to somebody now. You wake up in the morning and you feel it before you even said a word or breathe deep. You already have that fear welling up inside. You take every thought captive, just like he said. You send that packing over to Jesus Christ. Tell him, put that in shackles. I ain't living under worry today. I ain't living under doubt today. Pow, shoot that in the head. Choose today to trust God. Don't wait till noon. Don't wait till 3 p.m. Kill that mess before you even get out of bed. Trust God. Choose to do it. This is war. Choose to fight.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.